It's a bit of a scary gospel in a way, isn't it? Anybody, how many have been robbed at some point in their lives? I had my car stolen once and a backyard broken into a couple weeks ago, and so on. Jesus compares himself to somebody who steals your car. Isn't that funny? He's not above any image to get his point across, and that really does. Well, I was, this week, in praying over this gospel, I kept looking up at my tree in the yard because it's suddenly turning. I learned when I spent a summer in New Hampshire as part of the seminary program, and they taught me back there. I noticed I was leaving at the beginning of August that some trees were changing and said, yeah, those are the ones that are dying. They change early. So I noticed my trees changing, and I remembered that. And when I got here 9 or 10 years ago, my mountain ash had, in the spring, was covered with flowers, and of course, and then in the fall, red berries everywhere. And these berries, you know, every one that drops turns into a tree. What a mess. But fortunately, in most years, one year I had a flock of about 500 robins descended on the tree. It was really fun to watch. They got every last berry. Thanks be to God. I was rooting for them. And, you know, I looked this up. They actually get drunk on those berries, so they start acting really weird. They're rolling on the ground, and it was really funny. And a raptor came and got one, and then they all disappeared, and I had to rake them all up. I was so mad. But this is all ancient history. This last year, I have about 50 berries on it, and that's all. And it's got a whole, maybe a fourth of the top, not the crown, but right next to it, has died. And the thing is either dying or very sick. It depends on who you ask. I've had several opinions about it. I had somebody who's worked for the Forestry Service at my house on Friday, and he said it's got a fungus. Others say it's being choked by its own roots, got a huge root encircling the whole trunk. But my point in bringing it up is the tree was sick long before I noticed it. It's only now an inner sickness that's being outwardly manifested and is suddenly visible to everyone. Sometimes we carry a sin or a burden or some problem or addiction or something that needs to be purified, and we think we're getting away with it, but it suddenly or slowly becomes manifest in our lives. Others begin to see this thing because we can't hide who we are. In heaven, you can't hide anything. This is why people go to purgatory or even hell, because they don't want to be seen for what they are. They don't want to be purified. The tree may have to be cut down, may have to be pruned or whatever. Notice what Jesus said, what no thief can steal, no moth destroy. Moths are getting a lot of trees in the East right now. It's not lethal, but it makes them look very sick. What I find interesting about that reading, I was praying about it. I said, Lord, that has nothing to do with this gospel. And I was reading Revelation, where the scripture that came to mind, I wrote this in my column, and I looked it up. In Revelation, our Lord uses the same language he does in this gospel, Revelation 3. He says, you have this reputation, he says to one of the churches in Asia Minor, you have this reputation for being alive, and yet you're half dead. He said, wake up and revive what little you have left, for it is dying fast. Reminded me of my tree. Wake up and see yourself as you are, how much I want you to grow and to be purified and to be whole, but you have to recognize it. Says, if you do not, I will come like a thief in the night at a time that you are not expecting. So our Lord in Revelation is quoting himself in this gospel. And in this gospel, he uses a different image to make the same point, that he's going to come and catch these people by surprise. They've got that was good. If I'd stay in one place, this would be easier. They've got it's a wedding scene. And in this case, a rather wealthy man is going to get married. We remember that weddings last a week in that culture. He goes to the bride's home. This is where you get the 10 bridesmaids waiting for him to show up. And they have a one-week wedding reception. Imagine planning that. And then after that, they normally had a month off to enjoy each other's presence. So maybe we'd call it a honeymoon today. So you would think that the head steward, the head servant, must have thought or was told, hey, he's going to be gone at least a week, and then 2 weeks after that, I'm going to do what I want to do because I know I'm safe for a month. The man made several calculations that were incorrect. It says here, what was he doing? He's beginning to beat the men servants and maid servants to eat and get drunk, and that servant's master catches him. He's eating and drinking what doesn't belong to him. He's abusing the people around him for his own benefit. He's showing his authority and his power to people, making his importance felt. You're going to do what I want. I'm in charge now. And he gets drunk on his master's wine. The miscalculation is he's done it many times and he's always gotten away with it before. How many young people die in car crashes because, hey, I've always done it before? How many times in our country or in our world we think it can't happen because it's never happened before? I can't die, it's never happened to me before. I think not a month goes by that I don't talk with somebody or some family or somebody that has suddenly got a sudden illness and life changes so fast. But our Lord is talking about more than that. He comes in many unexpected ways each day if we're watching. The tree, to me, spoke to God immensely. Do you ever have things like that speak to you? The Lord wants to speak to you through your yard, through your people, your circumstances of life. I looked at that tree and I said, the tree's an image of a soul in which something's dying. I'm not praying anymore. My relationship with my family or my spouse, the flame is gone. What's moved? Is it partly my fault? What can I do? How can God revive my life as a Catholic or as a Christian? Am I a good witness at work, or am I cheating whenever the boss isn't looking? This is what God is talking about. And what our Lord asks is that we be faithful to what we're called to do in our lives. I had my first job with American Airlines. I was on the phones, we called it, and I was taking airline reservations. I just hated this. A high-paid slave is what I was. I was chained to a phone pad with a headset, and every call was, what's the cheapest fare to this or that? And if anybody's listening to this, a few of my friends listen to this, they remember this slavery. Us former slaves are going back for a reunion in September. See what we all did with our lives. But anyway, unfortunately I got out of that after a while, but I had a series of bad calls. I didn't want to sell anything, and I just made up my mind I wasn't going to do it. And the reason I mention this is because there was a supervisor light on my phone pad. It was a red button, and they could listen in any time, kind of like God. And our supervisor's name was Anita. And one day, and if the light lit up, you knew you were caught, or you'd been listened to. So I went through this series of really bad calls. I wasn't trying, and I finished the 12th call or something. I said, Lord God, I hate this job. And the supervisor light came on, and she said, why don't you quit then? And the Lord said, looking in retrospect, if I find you at the third or 3 o'clock hour not doing what I want, I'm going to come in an unexpected time and catch you. He caught me. She didn't fire me, but she could have. I was on probation at that time. Oddly enough, she friended me on Facebook last year. I thought, okay, I can forgive you. She forgave me. You know, she was just doing her job. I wasn't, actually. But I learned, don't do that if somebody's listening. That wasn't the right lesson. Our Lord asks us, all God is asking of you, for me, he's asking, I hate to say this, but these last two lines apply particularly to parents, supervisors, and ministers. You know, if I've been given much, I'm entrusted with much. Much is demanded of me. I have to present the gospel as the church teaches, not as Father Gary teaches. This is very critical. And I'm accountable for that. But all of us are accountable for our own station in life. All God asks of you, if you're stuck in a lousy job like I was then, or a great job like I am now, if you are unemployed, you've got a family, you go to school, you're at the beach, having fun, even watching TV. In every area of my life, I am glorifying God and doing what God is asking me to do. I don't care what you feel about your employer. I'm a servant of God. I don't work for them. I work for God. I recognize this now. I didn't recognize it at the time, how valuable that was to God. That very thing that I didn't like could have glorified God more than I did. One good question to ask, I've said this before, if the Lord, you're staying up late watching a movie at 1 a.m., if the Lord walks through the wall, do you have to change the channel real quick? You're on the computer and suddenly the Lord's behind you. Do you clear the screen quickly? If you're having an argument with your spouse and the Lord walked in, would you have to change what you're saying? And how do we beat our maidservants and men servants? We don't have those. Most of us don't. We don't beat people up. Most of us don't. But we do beat them up verbally, don't we? Yeah, I think most of us have done that. We've been beat up ourselves. So our Lord, this is a very personal reading. Look at what God's going to say, though. We are all in the middle of an employment test. This is very clear from this reading. The bridegroom, who's Jesus, he's going to come back from the wedding, and he's going to return to us. We're now the servants. He's much delayed in coming back. We don't know when he's going to come for me individually or for the world itself. But when he does come back, he says, if I come back to you at the second or third watch, midnight to 3 a.m., 9 to 12 or midnight to 3 a.m., really late hour, and I find you doing what you're supposed to be doing, I'm going to take you out of this temporary situation, and I'm going to put you in charge of everything in my kingdom. This is what God's offering you. Doesn't matter how important or unimportant you are now, did I do my job? That's all God's looking for. If I find that you have been abusing your power, and you think you're getting away with something because you always have, and I catch you, I'm going to stick you with the unfaithful. He doesn't say he's going to send you to hell. He said he's going to stick you with the unfaithful. There are ranks in heaven. And we won't all be the same. And we're going to do it to ourselves. So this is again, the same lesson he keeps telling us, is that if I've entrusted you with much, if you've got faith, I'm entrusting you to be my emissary in the world. It's not just priests and ministers that are on the hook here, not just parents with children or teachers in schools. It is all of us. All of us have this great gift of faith that so many in our state do not have. And the Lord expects us maybe not to be a verbal evangelist, but at least to be a force for good, to do my job, to be somebody that people can look at as a person of integrity. And God will come back and say, well done, my good and faithful servant, come and enjoy my house, and I will put you in charge of many, many things.